There are differences within every family. This has certainly been the case for us with our children. If you don't know, we recently just added a new member to our family, little Miss Amelia Blake. And there are differences between our children, even at this young of an age. Differences even in the way that they have come. I was talking about this on Wednesday night, that with Miss Amelia, we had her in a birth center down in Lubbock. So we had, while Rebecca was in labor, we had a 90-mile drive ahead of us. And that was something unexperienced with our other two. So even then, they have their differences. And then also, just in their personality and the way that they look, kind of an interesting difference is that Amelia by far has been the best smelling of our three little tykes. She has smelled like roses in bloom since she has come into this world. But interestingly enough, she has the worst smelling burps I have ever smelled. I have no idea why. But this was something that was completely unexpected and unexperienced with our other two children. And as they grow, as Walker and Catherine have grown and they've come into their personalities, they're different. There are differences in families. There are differences between children. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. In Genesis chapter 25, we'll see that this difference in a family, and this difference really between children, holds true for a family of the Bible. It holds true for the family of Isaac. In Genesis chapter 25. We see, starting in verse 21, just to give us some background for our text, that Isaac is praying for his wife, Rebecca, because she, like her mother-in-law, has not had or has been barren up to this point. She has not been able to have children. So Isaac prays for her to be able to have children, and the Lord blesses her. She conceives not just one child, but two. And we also see that this was a prayer that was years in the making. Isaac, when he married Rebecca, was 40 years old, and by the time Jacob and Esau come, he is 60. So this is a prayer that is a long time in the making. And the Lord says to her, whenever she finds out that she's pregnant, in verse 23, that there are two nations in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And it says, when her days were to be delivered, or to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And now we start to see the differences come out, even from birth. Now the first came forth red, all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. And afterward his brother came forth with his hand, holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. So we see differences from Jacob and Esau even when they were born. When Esau is born, he is red and hairy, and Jacob is the opposite. We see later on in the saga of Isaac and Jacob, when Jacob is seeking to take Esau's blessing, that Jacob is smooth-skinned. He has to put on hair so that he can appear to be like Esau. So there's a complete difference between them. And an interesting thing, if you want to kind of imagine what Esau is looking like at this point, our daughter Catherine, when she was born, was red and hairy. So if you're imagining Esau and you imagine Catherine, you're probably coming pretty close. So Esau is born red and hairy, and we see These differences become even more pronounced and even more stark as they grow older. It says in verse 26, afterward, his brother came forth with his, in verse 27, when the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man, living in tents. And this becomes important because of what we see in verse 28. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. We see that there are differences in a family, differences when they're born, differences in their personalities. And that is no different from our family here. The family of God that we have gathered here. We all have differences. There are some of us who are, we have a lot of differences in our appearance. Some of us are smooth-skinned, and some of us are red and hairy. We have a whole lot of differences. There are differences in our personalities, in what we like and what we dislike. There are some that are hunters, and then there are some who just like to stay in the tents and cook, that are peaceful and just like to be home. Now, typically in a family or in a group, when you're filled with these kind of differences in personalities, and in what people like and dislike, there seems to be kind of a division. Not really a purposeful division, like not always that people are antagonistic against each other and are separating, but it just seems like people that have different interests and likes kind of drift away from each other. They don't spend a whole lot of time together. And that really, this is the picture that I get when I read about Jacob and Esau. I don't, when I read this passage, and I could be wrong, but I don't get the feeling that they are really investing a whole lot of time into one another. And that's understandable. They have their separate things that they are interested in. But I don't see, and later on when we see kind of the relationship between Jacob and Esau and what Jacob does to his brother, you just don't get the feeling that they are very devoted to one another. Not only do we see a kind of separation like this from individuals because of their different tastes and what they like, but we also, like we saw in verse 28, people within the group or the family also start to drift towards those people that like the same things that they do and that have the same personality as they do. Isaac kind of becomes Team Jacob, and Rebekah becomes Team Esau. So this morning, really what my plea is to you, to my family, is for family devotion. And this is a very interesting and hard subject to bring up with this group of people because we are so good at that. This congregation loves its members. And this congregation does a lot for its members. Rebekah and I are, this has been I cannot explain to you how crazy of a week this has been. But it's been made so much easier by the love and the care that's been shown to us, by this congregation. But before this crazy week happened, this was the passage that I was, studying. So, even though it's a hard subject to bring, this is the lesson that you get. It's about family devotion. And when I think about this congregation, I thought about what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now, as to the love of brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And I feel the same sentiment for this congregation. But in verse 10, Paul also says this. He encourages them to excel still more. You are fantastic in your love towards one another, but yet excel still more. So I guess I was thinking about how, personally, how I could grow in this area. How can I excel still more in my devotion to my Christian brothers and sisters, to my family? Well, one of the ways that I feel like I can grow is by being able to devote and invest myself into not just the brethren that I find it easy to get along with and find it easy to talk to and to be around because they share the same interests and have the same personality as I do. But I find it hard to invest and to devote myself to a brother and sister that, you know, really it's kind of hard to talk to them because we don't like the same things. We don't live in the same world. There's not really a whole lot of connection going on there. And I kind of pose the question, well, what's wrong with that? Why is it even a big deal that people separate like this? Why is it a big deal that when you have that we have factions like this? Well, later on in the story of Jacob and Esau, we see where this becomes a real problem. When Isaac is becoming old in age and he is going to give the blessing to Esau, his firstborn, well, all of a sudden the interests of Team Jacob are in jeopardy. And Rebekah doesn't like this, so she decides to take action. And the interest of Team Jacob goes above the interests of the family. And there ends up being a pretty devastating split in the family. So my encouragement is, and always is, I mean, and we know this, that Christ is not divided. It is one body full of many members, but who are one, together as one. And if we have any interest, the interest should always be the interest of Christ and his family. I was thinking about Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, where Paul encourages the Romans. He says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." And he says in verse 10, "Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor." So my desire for us this morning, especially for me, is to devote ourselves to one another, but not just to those that it's easier to do that with. To devote ourselves to all of our family. To devote ourselves to even those that we feel like it's hard to connect with. So one of the biggest reasons why I struggle with devoting myself to someone is this feeling of, you know, I don't really have anything in common with them. I would like to approach them. I would like to talk to them, but what are we going to talk about? I feel like I can't talk to them about something. And every time I feel like I try to talk to this person, well, it just goes flat. We can't find any common grounds to talk about. I think about, and this is complete speculation, but it helps me to get invested in the story a little more. I think about, you know, Isaac and Jacob. I think about Jacob, you know, at home, cooking and enjoying being in the tents. And Esau comes home and he talks about being outside and talk about hunting and talk about tracking and, I don't know, talking about being dirty. And Jacob's like, what are you talking about? That doesn't sound interesting at all. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't connect with that. And I've been in this kind of situation before where you have no idea. You cannot connect with what the other person is talking about. When I first started working with AJ, when I first started doing crop consulting with AJ, I would ride in the truck with him and he would be training me. And every once in a while, we'd get stopped by a farmer. And I would sit there and I would listen to their conversation. And they're talking about planting dates and varieties and well capacity. And they're talking about all these things. And I have no idea what they're talking about. No idea. I'm like, AJ and this person have learned Mandarin Chinese. I have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm listening to it, and I'm looking around me, and I'm like, I'm not even sure if the field that we are on is cotton. What is this that we're looking at? And that's not fun. It's not fun to feel like you can't. Obviously, this farmer is very interested and invested in what he's talking about, and I just can't match that. And I doubt that I have anything that I'm interested in that much that I'm able to talk to him about. It's hard to try to make that connection. I would much rather talk and be with this person who thinks the same way as I do, who likes the same things that I like, that can talk about the same things that I like. So when I think about this concept of devoting ourselves to one another in brotherly love, one of the examples that came to mind is David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan, it says about them in 1 Samuel 18:1 that it came about when David had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. It's really hard to imagine having that type of relationship with anybody. That type of relationship, especially with a friend, I mean, with a pal or with a family member, it's hard to imagine having that relationship with anyone, let alone a relationship with someone that, again, it's just hard to connect with them. But this is, I really don't doubt that when Paul says, devote yourselves to one another, like, this is the type of relationship and love that he's talking about. Can you imagine the glory that would give to Christ and his church if every member had their souls knit together to one another in love? And not just the people that have always been friends, but every member, it doesn't even matter if they, you know, they're the member that always sits across the auditorium from us that I have hardly ever talked to once in my time being here. What if every member had their soul knit together in love? How amazing would that be? Well, this really should not be fantasy. This should be our goal. And it's easy to look at David and Jonathan's relationship and say, well, yeah, but they were alike. They were warriors. They had this common ground. Well, kind of, but not really. I mean, we see that before Goliath, in the battle with the Philistines, that David was a shepherd. The only reason he was not even in the battle lines for this battle, the only reason why he was there was he was delivering bread and cheese to his brothers that were on the battle line. I don't think that there is a bond or a connection over being warriors between David and Jonathan. Now, I do think that they do have a bond, that they have a connection, that they have a commonality that they're able to connect with. But I think it's stronger than that. It's easy for us to remember the words of David in 1 Samuel 17, verse 37, where he says, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." It's easy to remember David and the faith and the trust that he had in the Lord and what he was able to overcome because of that. But what I fail to remember at times is that Jonathan had his miraculous moment against the Philistines because of the help of God. He charged in and attacked a camp of Philistines with only his armor bearer and slew 20 men. And these are the words that he said before that. In 1 Samuel 14:6, he says to his armor bearer, "Come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or few." And he continues to say in verse 12, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." David and Jonathan did have something in common, but it wasn't the weapons that they fought with, it was the shield that defended them. David and Jonathan bonded over the love and trust that they had in Jehovah, the Lord God. It's interesting to see how the disciples of Jesus were able to spend so much time together and invest so much time together. They were from different backgrounds. We have fishermen, we have tax collectors, we have a zealot. So we ask ourselves, how were they able to bond? Well, Look at who the center of their group was. What was the glue that held all of them together? They bonded together in their love and their devotion for their master, Jesus. Are we not bonded in the same way? You and I and all of us here today? I find it hard to talk to people that are not interested in the same things that I am. So I have to ask myself, what am I interested in? What is the most interesting thing in my... What is the thing that I am most devoted in? Why am I here this morning? If I am here, if I come here on a Sunday out of obligation or devotion to a building, or maybe devotion to a certain member or a certain elder or whatever it is, well, I am here for the wrong reason. We are disciples of Christ. We are servants of our Lord God. Or at least we should be. He is the most amazing blessing of our life. He is our center. We should be devoted to Him. If He is the most important thing in our life, if He is where we place our mind and our heart and our soul, well then, of course we're going to be able to talk to one another. Who cares what we do for a living? Who cares what our background is? Who cares what we find interest in? Christ is our interest. Christ is what we connect over. Christ is our bond, and there is nothing that is stronger than that. And if I, and I do this sometimes, if I think about approaching my brother and sister and talk to them about Christ, and I think, well, no, that would just be kind of weird. Like, I don't need to do that. That would be weird. Well, again, I have to ask myself, like, what am I interested in? My devotion's not in the right place. Christ is the center of our lives. And not only does that bond over Him being the center of our lives, not only is that important, but also we need each other more than we realize. We see in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4, that Paul says this: "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." We are members of one another. We are members together, just like a body. We are knit together, just like a body. And every member of the body has its own way of helping the body to grow and to operate at its optimal function. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 10, if you want to look at that. God gets the greatest glory. His body gets the greatest glory when each one of the members of His body is seeking to give Him the glory in its own way. And when the body is taking care of its individual members, no matter who appears to be great or small, if your arm is hurting, you will take care of it. If your pinky is hurting, you will take care of it. It is a blessing that we are a family that has its differences, because we can all work together in unison with our own special differences to give God glory. It is okay that some of us are hunters. It is okay that some of us are people that dwell in the tents and cook, because we are able to make a greater blessing with that. One goes out, brings the meat in, the other one cooks it, and then you have this wonderful, delicious, amazing meal, because the two people realized, we work better together. I do need this person. And this is one of the biggest ways that I realize I fall short in this is, and I apologize for this. I'm honestly sorry. I don't always realize when a member is not here. And that's one of the, that is a huge shortcoming of mine. I'm not able to just look up and be like, oh, they're not here, and feel that. Well, you think about someone who is missing a body part. When I was younger, I just assumed there were so many older gentlemen that was missing a finger. I just assumed you got to a certain age and it just fell off. It just seemed like every older person I knew was missing a finger. And I was like, I can say goodbye to this finger. It's not going to be there forever. Think about someone when they're missing a part of their body. Do you think whenever that part is gone, that they don't recognize that it's there anymore? I mean, even if it's a finger or a pinky or whatever it may be, does someone not realize that it's gone? Well, why, when a member of my body here is gone, why do I sometimes struggle to realize that? Again, I thought about David and Jonathan. It said when David left Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20:41, that David rose from the south side, fell on his face to the ground, bowed three times. They kissed one another and wept together, and David wept the more. You think David had a hard time realizing when Jonathan wasn't at worship on a Sunday? I don't think so. I think David would always know where Jonathan was and why. So this is an area that I would personally like to grow in, and I hope that you will hold me to it. I pray that if you are not here, whether it be for an illness or whether it be because it's freezing outside and the roads are starting to get icy, whatever it may be, I pray that I am devoted enough to you that I realize that you're not here and that it hurts me and bothers me. I mean, and it doesn't even have to be Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. I pray that I'm so devoted to you that I realize you're not here. Whether it be things, we're about to have a potluck in here. And if you are here and you're a visitor, I would suggest you be there. It'd be great to have you. We're about to have a potluck after AM services. If you're gone to these sort of things, I pray that I realize that. That I notice that, and then I get to the point that I am so devoted to you, like, if you're gone too much, it brings me to tears. Because I know that this is the kind of love that God expects me to have for you. And I pray that you would have the same kind of love for me. Although, if I was gone for a while, it'd probably be easier to notice. Especially by the elders, I think that they would have a thing to say about that. So where I want to close with this morning, what I want to close with is I want to give you encouragement just as a reminder of the worth that we have to each other. If we go back to Genesis 25, this whole saga of Jacob and Esau begins with a prayer. Genesis 25, and it says in verse 21, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord answered him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Now it's easy to just focus on Jacob in this story, because he was the carrier of the promise. But we need never forget that both Jacob and Esau were answers to that prayer. Whether we appear or think that we are special or that anybody else is special in Christ's body, think about this. If you think that you are any less special or any more special than any member of Christ's body, that's a lie. I will say this about each and every one of us. We are an answer to a prayer. There's a great number of men and women that throughout time and age have prayed and prayed hard that their God would be glorified and that his kingdom would grow. And we here today are an answer to that prayer. We are growth. You are that growth. That brother or sister that is sitting right next to you that you find it easy to talk to is the growth of the kingdom. That brother or sister who sits across the auditorium from you that you find it hard to connect with is that growth. When we get on our knees and we pray for God to be glorified and His kingdom to grow, and I pray that we do, that we pray like in Matthew 9:38, that the Lord of the harvest send out workers into His harvest, that brother or sister, every single one that's around you is an answer to that prayer. Let's devote ourselves to one another as that. I pray that I devote ourselves to one another in brotherly love. Think about what a beautiful just orchestra of glory that is for God. When His body, of which He loves dearly every single one of its members, when His body does the same for one another. Let's devote ourselves to one another. If you this morning have not joined this special family, that is the family of Christ Jesus, don't wait. We ask you, please come forward, be baptized, join the family of God. If you would please stand while we sing.